Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Mark from reflexivityspace.org. This is our third podcast, and today is December 2nd, 2022. We continue with our conversation between me, my friend Mike. Hello, Mike. Are you there?
Hi Mark, how are you today?
I'm fine. How about you, buddy? How has it
I'm
been?
a little off. I think a little bit of gunk, a little bit of funk. I say COVID, but since it doesn't exist, that doesn't apply. I'm a lighter. Go
Just to
ahead.
give the listener a bit guidance, this will be about 40 minutes of conversation. And would you mind to give us a little bit more background about yourself, as you often do at the start of our podcast, please?
Yes, I was thinking about talking about electronics a little bit in my beginning, but one of the videos that was posted at Reflexivity really jarred me. Naomi Campbell talked about the vaccines and squalene that's in oil found in every cell in the body being a factor in the vaccines. I am a vaccine injured person. I don't consider myself anti-vax, but I border that because I just don't think they're safe. And having taken the H1N1 flu vaccine 08, 09, I came down with severe pneumonia. And as somebody who's had a history of respiratory tract infections, I've always been really careful. I've never had pneumonia. But I came down with pneumonia. The doctor prescribed me Cipro, which, if you know about it, it is a horrible antibiotic. And Cipro is known to cause tendon ruptures and degrade the connective tissues and tissues of your joints. I did not know that. My doctor did. I was an 18-year established bodybuilder. I didn't compete, but really advanced in bodybuilding. It ruined my ability to lift weights. Try to make it short, try to keep on track. Is okay, I got the shot, came down with the flu, was homeridden for a while. I couldn't work. I took the Cipro, had all these problems, but bottom line, I came down with Guillain-Barré as the most classic identifier of my health. I did not talk about to my doctor as per today. Doctors don't see these things. They can't, they're not paid to. Essentially, I self-diagnosed, and where I came to understand my problem was the term bilateral coordination issues. I can no longer type left and right hands. I can't coordinate left and right. My motor control between the left and right sides of my body are severely impacted. That's where white weightlifting was completely taken out of my life. The other thing is like walking, where I can't control and coordinate my feet. So there's a series of things that I am very upset. But the bottom line, back to Naomi's comment about the squalene, people should read about it. There's less and less online because they've scrubbed it. And every once in a while, you've seen a mention of a non-squalene or non-adjuvanted vaccine. Well, they're trying to downplay it because the Gulf War syndrome was all related to squalene. So, what happens is squalene is an oil that, if you eat it, let's say in a salmon patty or something like that, the body is okay with it. But if you inject it or exogenous introduction of squalene puts the immune system in a panic. And the body starts chewing away or eating or degrading the squalene. And in turn, it starts attacking the squalene in your nerve bundles and nerve trunk. I don't want to talk on and on because I want to get back to the core of what we were talking about the last two podcasts. But I wanted to bring that up because people need to be aware of it. Last thing I want to say related to that. Go ahead, Mark.
I mean, you are a first-hand example for of somebody having been vax damaged, even though. I mean, I had all my vaccines when I was a child, and then I was in 2000, late 2000, when I went to Western Central Africa. Obviously, I had a battalion of vaccines at that time, right? To go to Africa, no, from the company and everything. I mean, they organized that you are vaccinated against everything. And but those in 2000 that I took, those were very many vaccines against even things that we don't know here. were the last vaccinations I ever took. Ever since, I never took a vaccine anymore because, and that's maybe a topic I want to address once later on. My observations in Western Central Africa taught me that we are afraid of things that have other origins than we believe. And that's why I then never took any vaccine anymore. I have started malaria prophylaxis. I had heartbeat like hell. I stopped all this at the time. And ever since, I've never been injected anymore. But yeah, just go ahead.
It's hard not to be upset, angry, irrational about it. I don't talk a lot about it because people don't understand it. They're like, what do you mean you got hurt by a vaccine? It's been almost 15 years. The other thing that I think that we need to think about is essentially, in my way of viewing it, the vaccines were originated back in the days when they did prefrontal lobotomies, sticking an ice pick, so to speak, in your eye socket and augering out a portion of your brain. I might have that slightly off, but as an example of this. Well, in modern vaccine development, if that even applies, I think it's all a farce, but they basically squirt chemicals or materials, elements into petri dishes with organic living material, and they see a reaction. So these idiot scientists see a response. Well, it's an immune response. No, it's a reaction, it's a revolt. So I think to point that scientific community is adding aluminum and all these things to the vaccine because they see the body react to it, but they've grossly misinterpreted the reaction to the point it's
I mean, was this Bregan, Dr. Bregan, no,
yes.
the psychiatrist, the US psychiatrist, he talks about this at length. No, he was the one that kind of stopped the lobotomy programs in the US at the time, or was heavily involved in this. And this may just be kind of how to say that now. Instead of doing a physical lobotomy, you just inject that stuff, and it has the same or similar implications for the frontal human cortex over time.
Almost even to say targeted.
Would you agree with that? Because
Oh yeah.
that would explain this sharp increase in ASAD, all this kind of childhood, how to say, sicknesses, illnesses, autism. I mean, you don't have to look far, no, because it really coincides from on a timeline with the introduction of vaccines.
There's a really great doctor, Andrew Molden. He's no longer living. He was suicided after speaking the truth against medical tyranny complex. I don't know what to call it, but he has a series of videos on YouTube. And he talks about it and the extent to which he's really reserved and holding back. It's visible, body language wise, that he makes references to lopsided eyes, faces, drop on the face. But there are so many people we encounter in life that are unknowingly vaccine damaged with microstrokes, the blood clotting, and other systemic effects that are affecting it. I don't want to dwell much further on it now. We can obviously revisit as you see that, or as people that are listening would like to hear more. But I wanted to touch on that when Naomi Campbell came on. Sorry, Naomi Wolf mentioned the squalene. I practically came out of my chair because I've been trying to warn people for 15 years and people look at me bug-eyed. They just don't understand it. But again, it's in every cell in the body, but it's safe until you inject it and bypass the body's immune system. And I go back to the vaccine. I would trust my own immunity, my innate immunity, long before bypassing the skin, going right into the blood or tissue barrier. And that's troubling that people don't really make that connection to me. I'm glad that you did early on, Mark. It says a lot about
Okay.
you.
Yeah. Now, okay. Would you then like to develop a little bit deeper into the topic of this, the EMF? Would you be
Yes.
comfortable to go ahead a bit and just tell us a little bit more, as we are learning, me and the community, from you. And I've seen there was a lot of feedback in terms of people watching it, our first and second edition of our podcast. So I think there is a certain interest to learn more for all of us. So just please go ahead and feel free to develop deeper into this subject matter. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the introduction. My interest is to have people start thinking and start questioning. As we look at this, there's not a lot online, and as the censorship has progressively increased, it's harder and harder to find material. So hopefully we can connect some of the dots of what's a ridiculously complex situation that's playing out. I want to rephrase what I said the other day. Was I'm kind of putting this in order of what we come into the closest contact with. 5G, while an issue, unless we have it in our phone, if it's on a tower or overhead, my feeling is the potential risk or damage are lower. So I'm going to talk about that, but I'm not going to put it as a preface. When we look at EMF directly from a cell phone or smart meter or other devices, that's something that's an imminent threat in my view. I want to talk a little bit about lights, because I think we all see light, we understand light to a point. It would be a good way for us to leverage that awareness to try to think in an abstract beyond what either we've been taught or what's being told. If we think about, I want to use the example of a laser, which is an amazing thing in and of itself. If you think about full spectrum light from the sun, you've got all frequencies that are traveling at different strengths, different wavelengths or different lengths of information, and at different amplitudes, are again the word strength, like pulse or power, current is what drives things. So when we look at typical lighting, as I said before, the lower frequencies tend to have more current or more push, more amplitude. And then the higher frequency in nature, it tends to drop off. When we take a situation like EMF, or in this case, the laser will be my crossover analogy, they're collating the light to get all the light towards parallel. It's all moving together with itself in line, so to speak. The other thing that they do is they adjust the amplitude where high frequency signals have the same strength as low frequency. So it's essentially a linear light source from its lowest frequency to the highest, and it's a linear light source in terms of its amplitude or strength across the spectrum. I used an analogy the other day, and I'll repeat it, was if we talked to a speaker, an audio speaker, the bass frequencies are going to be hundreds of times stronger in amplitude or signal strength electrically than what would come out of a tweeter. If we took that same power, put a tweeter, it would blow it up. But in a instructional sense, it's going to be so loud and so piercing, we would lose hearing. We think about the laser in that same sense. It's the type of light that it's coherent, it's all in alignment, and it has all the same strength across its frequency. You point that in your light, in your eyes, you know, you risk blindness, so it's very damaging. Anything you want to contribute more?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand that, yeah. I understand. I'd say the laser light, what I have understood now, is kind of like the high frequency in a loudspeaker, no? It is the extremely strong one. And of course, it is even, I have heard, but yeah, that we should not look into LED light. But let's stay with the laser light, if you're comfortable.
Yes.
I could follow until here, so I think all of us could follow. That's good. You're reassured.
Let's think of it also, sorry to interrupt you, a little bit of a lag in our feed. Let's think of it also in a sense that to make a laser light or to create a coherent light source, in other words, where all light wavelengths are equal to one another, there's a lot of filtering, optical filtering that must be done. So the depositing of chemicals on various lens groups within the optical network will detune or lessen or increase certain wavelengths. So they play games or they make adjustments with filtration. When I talk about chemicals and using them as bandpass filters, we're going to talk about that same analogy as it relates to the sky and what we're seeing in terms of the aerosol program where it's affecting the light frequencies, but they tie in is kind of why I want to use that. When we look at the laser and we do a comparison, I'm trying to think of how to make this analogy. When we try to make the comparison, it's if we were to do the same thing electrically to create light, to filter light, to arrange light, to project it, it's complicated. When we talk EMF, let's talk, you know, radars and other quantum electrical technology we have, they're doing it electrically. They don't need filters. They don't need chemicals. It's a, I don't want to say purer, but a more streamlined process. The thing that really concerns me, and I hope I'm saying it right, making it clear, is with new science, EMF, they can create high frequencies without having to do any of the filtration, any of the adjustment. It's already that way. They just need an oscillator, something that goes off and on and off and on at a given frequency. So the expensive filtration and the collimating and all the adjustment they made in laser to get it to be what it is no longer needed. When we talk about electromagnetic frequencies, it's really easy to do, and it's something that's simple. It's not expensive. That's why I think it's so ubiquitous. So let's fold that a little bit into lights and to frequencies. Let's go back to lights and let's talk about the LEDs. And in fairness, as much as I am technical and I consider myself of the engineering persuasion and background, I never really made the connection to LEDs and what they could do. I never knew that LEDs could be into the terahertz bandwidth, not just gigahertz, but even above that. So theoretically, the way they work, they can be switched on and off at very high frequencies.
But what when that happens, what is the implication to the human body?
Well, can I go a little bit further and I'll back into that?
Mm-hmm.
Is when they can basically create frequencies, they can arrange them the way they are. They're creating something that's capable of causing great damage. Repeat your question, Mark, please.
But if they could switch them on and off, now the LEDs, what would be a possible application for it, or what would be the implications to a human body? Do you have an idea what that would mean?
There's something called a piezo sensor or a piezo actuator, and it works mm-hmm. on frequencies, and it's something. So it would be like a piezo actuator or piezo actuated circuit within the body. What I'm struggling to put to words is when we talk about the laser, let's say they fire the blue light a couple times, you know, really high frequency. They fire the red less often. They fire the green LED at a super high frequency. They could actually create artificial light and light, so to speak, that we don't even see, that's out of our optical system. So when Mark asks the question what the implications are, I think it's staggering, but it's unknown. I'm at a point I won't speak in too much because we're still learning. But when you think about one of the recent videos, it was a recent Maria Z video where they showed streetlights that had what, to my way of thinking, had pulsed LED characteristics. So they're electronically shaping and creating light by pulsing the frequency patterns of LEDs in different ratios.
So that would mean, if I understand that correctly, that would mean if you look at LED now, yes, one function of it is to enlighten the street. But there may be many more wavelengths in terms of light that is invisible to our eyes, but could be used to accomplish other functions. Would that make sense?
We might physically be aware of a particular light frequency, but deeper down, there are other frequencies intermodulated in with the main tone. And my concern is we react to the physical light, but our senses will key on and register the non-visible light. So back to your question, how could it affect us when we talk about there being quantum technology or quantum dots, which I really struggled with, that seems so far-fetched. It's not. When you talk about having quantum dots and sensors within the body molecularly and atomically, it stands to good reason to answer Mark's question, is it could, I think, very likely will have systemic implications or effects on our physiology that we have yet to learn about. Now, that being said, they're just advancing the state of technology of LEDs to the point of doing this. One of my earliest videos that I came to at Reflexivity was where Mark Steele was talking about a light panel, and I kind of countered how I thought it was being used, but I think we're just now seeing stuff or technology being implemented in more public settings and in the world around us. And this whole COVID thing basically gave license to make a lot of the changes that they are, and people are just happily going along wanting to have life come back to normal, not aware of it. Comment, Mark? The other thing that I would think about is light, like frequencies. I mentioned this. It is going to have physiological changes. I think about the Travis Scott, I'm trying to think of what they call Astral World, when it just went crazy. And you know, even to watch the video, Days of Noah had a really good video on it on YouTube.
You mean Travis Stock experiment? At the time.
Well, there, I think as a relation to that, Travis Scott, the rapper, had a concert where it just went crazy and people got killed. And to me, it was many things. It was EMF frequencies, it was light, there were sigils or visible symbols of a demonic sort of force. But there's so many things at play that light had to play a part. I've gotten to where I'm reluctant or uneasy going into certain light and audio settings, or let's say like a nightclub, I think in Las Vegas, my last time I went in, everybody's bumping and grinding and bouncing against one another. It's such a jarring experience. It's clearly not for me, but I feel like the light, the sound, the frequencies, the physical impulse, the people that we're coming in contact with, it's like this live and living entity that is absolutely going to leave a legacy or leave an effect on us. So we have to really think about, like, and as you start saying, Mark, we could be walking down the street, like it hit us, but there could be other frequencies riding within that. So let's say the typical light is being pulsed at 60 times a second, which is the line frequency of our AC here anyway, in the United States. But you could actually have 100,000 hertz tone. You could have 1 megahertz, 1 gigahertz. You could have multiple frequencies that would not affect the visible light. They would be interspersed in between the light frequencies or the wavelengths themselves. Exactly. So it's really insidious what they could, and from what we know, what they very likely are planning to do.
Exactly. With all these smart cities and smartphones and now smart humans, right? Smart humans, I mean.
I guess.
And then what we discussed in the first podcast, and they are also closely, let's say the LED lights, they're also closely mounted to each other, that they could be an information network going from one to the next. At some point, somebody can read some information, meaning where you are, etc. They can track you much easier and much more precisely with such technology, as I understood. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree, and I'm trying to think how to say this. When I first heard that, I thought how ridiculous it was, but it makes complete sense.
It makes sense, right?
Here would be an example. Let's think about.
And don't forget, it would be a bidirectional communication gadget. So not only can you receive data, but you can send data.
Yes. Let's think of the airports where you've got a big radar system.
Mm-hmm.
So they send radar frequencies, which are pretty low frequencies actually, but they send them out, they bounce them off the cloud systems, and they are fed back and they interpret that data. The missing link was, I did not know, but the radar are bidirectional. So they're imprinting functionality on our weather systems. And Mike Morales has a page on YouTube. Very good, very good stuff. He's probably one of the most knowledgeable weather and radar people that I know of. He talks more in detail about that. But the thing is, to take what Mark hinted at, thank you for bringing that up and helping me with the lead, is that if you have light segments in close proximity, you have them switching off and on. They're conveying light, but they're switching off and on. So let's say certain grouping segments or maybe certain color spectrum of lights, they switch them on and off at such a high frequency, we wouldn't see it, but it's going to be part of that information loop. So as I'm walking between these two streetlights and the one behind me is flashing, so to speak, and the signal return is getting less and less, but my signal strength on the one I'm walking towards is greater, the system can read the feedback or the return. And to Mark's point, it is very feasible. It could track you. And I started saying, initially when I heard that, I thought, well, that's crazy. But when I started thinking about lights and frequencies and microwaves, we're talking about an LED transducer that is a light source, but its effect is that of creating a high frequency energy field, which would almost be like a radio signal source.
Mm-hmm. But that is amazing. You said that even the ordinary radar can be used to not only capture information, but to send information, right? Did I understand that correctly?
I believe that's so, but I'm going to rephrase it for what I was trying to say. Good on your part. Is it's as if to say the radar does what it does, but it leaves an impression. It has an impact. So if you're constantly flashing these high frequencies, you know, as the thing turns around, does another 360, another 360, you're manipulating it somehow. You're energizing it, and the cloud system shouldn't be deemed any different than we, if we were standing there in front of it. It's going to have an effect on us, you know, not astronomical, but it could. I want to talk another thing, and I don't remember if I said it in the last meetings or the podcast, how I strongly feel about how full spectrum light is important to awaken and build, evolve our optical sensing networks, like the pituitary gland and the higher functioning networks. I believe in the third eye. I believe in this divine sense we have that they're trying to steal with medications. They're trying to deny us of this ability. Forgive me, in some respects, with religion.
Oh, that's good. The third eye, you know, my father, actually, he told me about that 2 weeks ago. The third eye you mentioned now.
Think of it like a radar system.
Exactly. And that one was shut down or is constantly shut down, like the amygdala, no? We poison, like, what's it called? What do we have in the toothpaste? This thing?
Fluoride.
Fluoride, of course. So, okay, we don't use that at home. We don't use fluoride toothpaste. Most of the listeners wouldn't either, I guess. But this is kind, we have a visual field, and then we have this field of kind of sensitivity, and that is maybe kind of connected to the third eye. Tell us more if you know more about it. It's an interesting topic, and it has always been kind of a push to shut our senses down, it seems to me, over time, over a long time. How do you see that? What would you think about this third eye? What is it? Is it the frequency sensitivity that we lack?
Well, let's think of the third eye and the eyeballs as being an organ. And the eyeballs are in the visible frequency spectrum. The third eye essentially covers all of that. So it's like a master regulator, as we know, but it's also a master sensory organ that, as you're saying, and I agree, they're trying to shut down. I went to heavily filtered water. I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago, I started quit drinking tap water. I drink only well water. I have Ozark well water. I'm not bragging, but I part of buying this property was because the water was so good. So the water factor, I quit using regular toothpaste. I use either Tom's, the non-fluoride, or the baking soda, just to not use any fluoride because it is real. The other thing I started doing, which is two things actually, which will sound kind of weird to relate publicly, is I quit wearing deodorant, and I only use baking soda on my armpits. It works fine. It doesn't leave any marks, but I don't even use any type of deodorant because I don't want the aluminum in it. I don't cook in aluminum is another thing. When we look at the third eye tie, and I risk sounding a little goofy to say this, but I will. Our eyes, our sensory, optical sensory network was meant to see full spectrum light. And by using sunglasses, tinted windows, anything that's filtering or shaping the light, we're limiting the spectrum of light that was meant to exercise and to develop our third eye or that sensory mechanism. So I wouldn't talk down to anybody that chooses to wear sunglasses or, you know, has tinted glasses in the home or tinted windows or that. But there's a point to think about. They may be affecting their overall development if they don't consider that.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Now we have about, what do we have left? About 6 minutes. Time flies. It's unbelievable the amount of information you're disclosing and sharing with us. So I last time said, let us then today tackle the smart meter issue, and we still cannot get there. Absolutely, because there's too much information that you share with us from which we can learn. Is there maybe one small aspect, two small aspects that you would think about that you could cover in this, let's say, 6 minutes or so?
Absolutely. I'm looking right at it as my notes go. DNA and how our DNA is a bidirectional antenna. It's our master antenna. So we receive input from the world around us. We can convey through our DNA. That's how we intuit to one another. I live far away from my family, but I am in close contact spiritually, I don't know if I call it metaphysically, with my family, but I think the DNA is a part of it. I just have a knowingness because of the connection. I do work to reinforce that. I do work to be healthy. The other thing, and I mentioned this lightly in a prior conversation about human scalar communication. So theoretically, we have the power within us. If we develop it, well, we're aware of it. If we're aware of it, one, if we develop it, to communicate instantaneously from any point in any place in the universe, but it's our DNA, or it's almost like light frequency and signals that we have the nature of harnessing and projecting or receiving, but it's important, the third eye, to have it healthy, to have it non-calcified. It's healthy to have our DNA where it hasn't been corrupted or affected the way they're currently doing it with fast pharmaceutical programs that are in play.
And there's something interesting. I know I heard about aura chirurgy. I don't know how you aura surgery. How do you?
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Did you ever hear about that?
No.
No. Okay. It comes from Germany. I mean, the original doctor is a German. It is a non-invasive. They call it chirurgy. No, a non-invasive treatment. It's extremely interesting. For instance, if you look at skiing, you know, so we have this kind of Switzerland as ski teams, we have the Austrians and we have the Italians, we are kind of on the French here in Europe, and the Austrians are the best. They're the best usually. We are the second best. Sometimes we are the best, but then overall, over the time, the Austrians were the most successful. And they used this aura surgery. The doctor, this the one that discovered, and that is using frequencies, energy, frequencies, treated all of them, and they win. They will own it all the time. It's strange. How come? Nobody knows that, of course. This is a bit hidden information that they were all treated or are all under supervision of this doctor. I don't know his name now, but Kühnle, I think his name is Kühnle. This is something you may want to look into once. Aura, A, U, R, A, surgery or chirurgie. It deals precisely with the frequencies, and you can open these frequencies so that the people are performing much better. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I risk sounding foolish to say it, but I will. Is I see auras not all the time, usually out of the corner of my eye. And usually it has to do with a person being healthy or not healthy, or somebody has a cold or sick. I see it. So there's a point, if I look for it, it's not there. If I out of the corner of my eye, peripheral vision. So there is an element that our aura
To that,
is big.
I will share this. I will share the link with you. He has written books, of course. This doctor, I share it with you. I don't know whether they have been translated. I believe so. It's quite important. And if I forget, please remind me tomorrow to send you the link via email. Now we have roughly 2 minutes left. Time flies. Was extremely interesting again. And I would say, would you be comfortable to really dive? There was one remark you made last time. You were talking about 60 volt in household, something like that. Do I remember
Right,
correctly?
right,
Okay. That would be 220 volt in Europe, right?
right.
Okay. And you said this is a medium you can kind of use as well.
Yes.
I take note. 60 to 20 volt, huh?
Yes.
I would like you to explain to us, what does it mean? How is it used, or what can be done with it? Because you mentioned it, but we didn't go into a bit more detail about that. Would you be comfortable to talk about that next time?
Absolutely.
Cool. And then we will see how much time is left to tackle the smart meters,
We
Mike.
need to, and at the time, we'll do a little bit on 5G frequencies and what the size of the frequencies are. So.
All right. So I wish you an excellent day, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next Friday night.
Sounds good. I wait.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the information shared with us. If you listen to this, you are the resistance. Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.